You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Reading this story about this woman who's Mildred Gillers. Mildred Gillers, she was basically, aka she was known as Access Sally. And she had a radio station, a radio program, and the program was called Home Sweet Home Hour. And that's nothing really amazing, but what was interesting about this woman's program on the radio, Access Sally, is that this was during 1940s. And so what this whole program, this woman's program was about, is she would be talking about coming home and how good America is and that you need to come home. And so they would play this in Germany. And so here is this woman speaking American, and they're playing it in Germany, and all the American soldiers that are fighting in the war in Germany, they're trying to beat the Germans in the Second World War, would be hearing this woman, Access Sally, and they would be listening, and this woman would be talking to them saying, listen, you don't want to be fighting anymore. You want to come home and think about America. What kind of condition is America? And so this woman has a whole program. So she's an American woman, but basically it's the Germans that are making her make this program that's going over the airwaves so that the American soldiers would listen to it. And so they would play some music, and then in between the music, she would come on and she would say, you know what, I wonder what your wife is doing. I wonder what your girlfriend is doing. We've heard about some instances where wives have thought the husband is dead and she's actually cheating and there's someone else in your bed. And she's saying all of this. And so you imagine you're a soldier from America and you're fighting in Germany and you're hearing all of these things over the airwaves. And so they would talk about the leaders. You would say, listen, I don't think your president has got it right. I don't think the allies, they're fighting a good thing. What's going to happen to you after the war? And so she's talking about this. And I was very interested that, you know, you think about this now. Here are the Germans. They had guns, they had bombs, they had tanks, they had submarines, U-boats and all of that. But they were willing to invest in this woman just spreading these words, because they understand that these words have the ability to discourage people. And I want to preach a sermon today about the weapons of the enemy. We were going through this series. We spoke about shame. That's one of the weapons of the enemy. Last week, we spoke about discouragement. This week, we're going to speak about discouragement. Last week, we spoke about distractions. But one of the main weapons of the enemy that I've seen infect God's people is the weapon of discouragement. That when the enemy starts to come in, he wants to discourage God's people. And I want to go from this text and find out, how do we actually overcome this discouragement? Because it is a weapon, as we've seen from this woman's life. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 6. Follow along with me. The Bible says, and when he set military captains over the people, he gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate and gave them encouragement. This is King Hezekiah speaking to the children of Israel, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him. For there are more with us than with him, and with him is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Let's just pray. Father, we just come before you right now. We pray that you would speak to us. Father, we pray that your words would encourage us. Father, we just ask you right now to magnify Jesus in this place. Father, do a spiritual work here. There are those here that are discouraged. Father, through many different reasons. But Lord, I pray that you would meet with them, help them. Let them leave here not the same, but let them leave here encouraged and strengthened in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, if you've never read or understood 2 Chronicles, the main character here that we're talking about is a king. He's a king of Judah. Judah is God's people. And so it's Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the king. And the Bible says in the text, Hezekiah sees all his people and he speaks a word, be encouraged. He's telling them, listen, God's going to work things out for us. But the reason why Hezekiah is doing this is because the king of Assyria has sent a messenger into Israel territory, Judah territory, and told them, listen, you better not fight against the king of Assyria. You're going to die. You're not going to succeed. You're going to fail. And so they've heard these words of discouragement. I want to say to you today, this is one of the main weapons of the enemy, is these weapons of discouragement. We've seen it all throughout the Bible. If you know your Bible, you would realize when you see that the story of David and Goliath. Here is Goliath, this guy, and he's standing up, talking to the children of Israel, saying, listen, send one guy down here, and listen, I'm going to deal with him. I'm a bigger guy than everybody here. And the Bible says that the children of Israel were intimidated by this. No one is going down. Just his words alone discouraged them. This is how the enemy works. If you know about Jezebel, Jezebel speaks to the man of God, the prophet. Here is this man of God, Elijah, who is powerful man of God. But Jezebel says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. By this time tomorrow. And the Bible says that that discouraged him, because this is how the enemy works. He's always trying to speak words of discouragement. Moses and Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. He speaks words into the children of Israel before he lets them go. I want to tell you today, this is how the enemy works. We're talking about weapons of the enemy. There are many Christians who are limping around with an arrow of discouragement in their heart. There are many in the house of God that can just about drag themselves here and just about get through a day serving God, wounded from an arrow of discouragement. This thing is not a light thing. See, when Goliath was speaking these words of discouragement, King Saul was frozen. There are some people, they love God. King Saul is the king over God's people, the king of Israel. Here is the king of Israel frozen. Could it be today that some people in the house of God, you're frozen. You're not moving forward. You're not taking ground. You're not upon kingdom business, because there has been a word of discouragement. You're discouraged. An arrow has hit you. The Bible says, this one really amazes me about Jezebel. Here is Elijah. Elijah is the prophet that called down fire from heaven. Fire came down from heaven. We would have thought, this guy's got the victory. This is a man of God. How many here you've ever prayed fire came down from heaven? Exactly. But here is this man. He's powerfully used by God. He knows God. Jezebel says, listen, by tomorrow you're going to be dead. You're dead. I'm after you. And so, you know what he does? He runs and hides. Elijah, you just called down fire from heaven. Now you're running and hiding. How many here, because of discouragement, you're running and hiding? Not in a mountain, but you're running back to the old friends. You've run back to the old music. You've run back to the old films. You've run back to the old ways. There are men of God that have calling, but now they've run. And you know, I'm going to hide my calling and hide my life in the things of others because of discouragement. When Pharaoh speaks to the children of Israel and he discourages them, when Moses comes into town, Pastor Moses preaches a powerful sermon, says, I've just met with God. I'm going to show you God's going to deliver us. God's promised us a new land. You know what the Bible says? They don't listen to him. They can't listen to preaching anymore. And I want to say to you today, even though you're in the house of God and you come here with your Bible or with your app or whatever it is, and there's preaching going over the pulpit saying week after week, you can have the victory, you can have this, God can do that for you. But you won't hear it because there is an arrow of discouragement, just like the children of Israel, that they could not hear it. They wouldn't listen to Moses. See, we can get discouraged over many things. How many know hard times can discourage us? When you go through hard times, how many ever been through some hard times? I know what it is to be discouraged in hard times. Or disappointment. When you was hoping for something and you get disappointed. When expectations. How many know it's discouraging when you thought by now you'd be there, but you're here? That's discouraging. I know what that feels like. Whether that is in the secular realm, whether that's in my pay, whether that's in my money, my career, my education, my ministry. By now, I thought I'd be here, but I'm still here. Those expectations. How many know when people come against you, it's discouraging? How many say amen? Say amen. Say amen. Come on, you know what it's for. When people come against you, when people are fighting you, you ever come to life and you think, why are you fighting me? I ain't fighting nobody. How many know there's always someone that just wants to fight somebody? That can be discouraging. Or what? Even worse, when it's someone that you love and you've trusted and you've heard they've said things about you. They've let you down. When it's a spouse or a parent or a child, that can be discouraging. I know what this is. Can I tell you today, let me be honest with you. Since I've been a pastor, it's been the darkest times when I've ever had to go through discouragement. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's the darkest seasons. As a disciple in the church, I would say, yeah, I had these seasons of discouragement. But I realize how the enemy, this is why I preach this. This is such a weapon of the enemy. When I've been a pastor and you're trying to do this and you think this is going to happen and you're laboring to do this or to do that, and you realize this weapon of the enemy is trying to flood into your heart. And if you may be shocked, oh, he's a pastor and he said he'd get discouraged. Listen, if Moses and Elijah and David and all of these men of God, how many know more likely the enemy's going to try to take us out? This is why we must understand this weapon. Sometimes we can be discouraged because of our own weaknesses. You ever been discouraged because you've done it again? You ever say, oh, that's it, I'm not doing that no more. Just silly thing. Yeah, that's it, I'm on my diet now. That's it. Lasted all of an hour. You ever been discouraged? Oh, how many diets have you started? How many courses have you started? How many times are you going to start that course? You're going to read that book. You're going to learn that instrument. You're going to do these things. You keep saying it. And we get discouraged sometimes. And we come to church. How many times have you been at the altar over the same thing? And it gets to a point where you're discouraged. And you think, what's the point? See, in 2 Chronicles 32, it gives us some real insight how this messenger of Assyria, the king of Assyria, speaks. Have we got a text up there? 2 Chronicles 32, 18. We got it there, yes. He says, and when they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem. Now this is, you got to remember, this is the Assyrians saying, listen, you're gonna fail. They're saying, when they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall, to frighten them and trouble them that they may take the city. These are the Assyrians speaking Hebrew. Because what they're doing is they're speaking the language of the people. See, many times, the voice of discouragement is going to speak to you in your own voice. Many times, the voice, the enemy, when he's going to come and attack you, he's going to come and attack you in your own voice. He's going to reference things that are about you. He knows you. The enemy has studied you more than you study yourself. He saw your birth. He studied you. He knows your inclinations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what tempts you. He knows what you're good at, what you're not. And he'll use that and he'll speak to you discouraging words in your own voice. That you realize that when people are undergoing this discouragement, the enemy is lying to you. It said loudly, he spoke in Hebrew. Some of you think they're your own thoughts, but they're the voices of the enemy. They're the words of the enemy speaking to you. You can't do that. Some of you have a long dialogue of discouraging words. I studied. I don't want to go through it all, but three things that this messenger says to the children of Israel. This Assyrian messenger. He says the first thing he says to them. He says this. See, the Assyrians had already bat up all the other nations. They'd already conquered all the other nations, and now they're at Judah's door. And what he says is this. He says, you see those other nations we've beat up? Do you think they didn't have a God? You think they didn't pray to their God? He says, why do you think your God is any different than their God? They prayed to their gods, they had their idols, and we still beat them. You're praying to your God. See, this is how the enemy is going to come and speak discouraging words to you. He's going to say to you, God ain't going to come through for you. He's going to start to remind you about people that, oh, remember, he said he believed in God. Look where he is. Remember where she said she was on fire at once. She's not even in church now. She's backslidden. I remember getting saved, coming into the church, new convert. I'm on fire for God. And I remember hearing about this guy that was the first guy that Rotherhithe ever sent out. None of you would probably know him. I guarantee none of you would know him. He got sent out even before I was saved. And he got sent out. And then what happened was he backslid. He got sent out as a pastor and he backslid as a pastor. And then he left his wife. And then he said he don't believe in God. Now, when someone told me that story, you got to remember, I'm a new convert. I was like, my days, what hope is there for me? I'm just trying to give up weed. I'm like, what hope is there for me? I just don't want to rave no more. I'm like, what hope is there for me? This guy went out. And I'm telling you, for a good 3-4 months, I was troubled. Getting up every day, said, God, can I stay saved? Am I still saved? It discouraged me. The enemy used it, and he's going to use these words and say, listen, what about so-and-so? They prayed for healing, and they never got saved. What about this sister? She prayed for a job. Look at her. She's still single. Look at all of these things. Why didn't God work for her? Why didn't God work for them? It's the enemy trying to discourage you in your own voice. This is what he said. He tells them that... He says, listen, if you fight with us, we're going to beat you so bad, we're going to make you eat your own feces and drink your own urine. He actually says that. I didn't make that up. How many know that's a disgusting expectation? That's a disgusting way to live. And what he's saying is, this is going to be your future. This is going to be your future. And there are many people discouraged in the house of God, discouraged by a future that the enemy is telling them is coming. He's telling them it's coming. See, this woman, Access Sally, was born in America, went to Germany. Her story is amazing. You could preach 100 sermons from her. I was reading about her. But she goes to Germany, and then they recruit her. And so over the airwaves, they've got this German radio station speaking to the American soldiers from an American voice. This woman was born in America. She's an American. Nothing to do with Germany. She's an American. Speaking discouraging words. And as these soldiers would listen to her, she's trying to discourage them. Can I tell you today, listen, the enemy could be speaking to you right now saying, that, listen, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to end up broke. You're going to end up alone. You're going to end up... And what you fill in the blanks, what the enemy's been telling you. If you serve God, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to end up eating your own feces and drinking your own urine. He says this, not just you, your kids as well. Listen, when you start to get kids, you're going to know how the enemy's going to use that on you. Because people don't love anything more than their kids. And once it comes, once the devil starts saying, hey, look, your kids, I'm going to do this with your kid. Your kids are going to stop. Your kids are going to, and you start, oh my days, discouraged. Speaking to you these wicked thoughts. And he says this to them. He says, the messenger says to the children of Israel, Judah, if you give up, lay down your weapons, come with us, you'll have peace. We'll give you a home and we'll take care of you. That's how discouraged people think. You know what? I need to quit. I'll have peace if I quit. If I quit the church, yeah, I need to quit. I need to leave. Boss, I need to take some time out. Isn't that what we think? Listen, if I go to the gym and I'm working out and I'm, I've been working out a bit too much. If I take time off, I'm not going to get any fitter. Yeah, I just need to take some time out. What's your goal? I want to get fitter. But you're going to take time out? Doesn't work like that, does it? In any other arena of life, it wouldn't work like that. I need to pull out of ministry. I'll have more peace if I pull out. I need to quit. And people that are always quitting things, and it could go across the board in everything. See, this is how the enemy speaks to us, because there is a weapon of discouragement. The reason why this weapon is so powerful, and I'm not giving glory to the negative things, but it is a powerful weapon, is because when you discourage, think of the word, when you discourage, what you're doing is you're taking courage out of people. When you're discouraged, you've got no more courage. We've removed the courage from you. Why is that a big thing? Because to follow Jesus, you need courage. Where Jesus is going to lead you, you need courage. You know the Bible says in Revelation, the people that go to hell, one, it starts to speak about the filthy, the abominable, the liar. One of the people that go to hell, it says the fearful. The fearful. What it means is the timid, they would not serve God. They did not have the courage to stand up and do what God wanted them to do. It says the fearful go to hell. If you have no courage, if the devil discourages you and he rips the courage out of you, and Jesus is like, come on, let's go over here. You're going to be like, I don't know, Jesus. I can't follow him without courage. I need courage to follow him. See, we need to strengthen ourselves. Look at someone and say, strengthen yourself. Look back and say, you too. 2 Corinthians, let's go back to the text. Let's look at some practical things we can do. Chapter 32, verse 3. And he consulted with the leaders. This is Hezekiah. And he consulted with the leaders and the commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city. That's the first thing we see he did. That they, and they helped him. Thus the people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brooks that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? So he dealt with the water. That's the first thing. Second thing, he strengthened himself, built up all the walls that were broken, raised up to the tower, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Three things we see that the king does, King Hezekiah does. The first thing is he says, listen, there's springs of water. You got to remember, the battle is coming for you. The enemy's coming, and there's springs of water. And he says, listen, let's block up all the water so that when the enemy comes, he can't use that water. We're going to block up all that water. And the water is the outflow. And I want to say, if you're going to defeat discouragement, the things that are flowing out of your life, you've got to make sure it's the enemy, you're not feeding the enemy. And one of the main things is your words. The words are your outflow. And many times what the enemy's doing, he's using your words to discourage you more. You're saying this will never work. He put it in your head, you said it. Once you say things, there's a new dimension of power to it. Let me tell you this now. Once you say words, the Bible says there is power in the tongue. There is life and death in the tongue. I've preached many sermons about the tongue. Once you start to say things, this will never work. I will never be. I can never do that. This is what's happening now. You're feeding the very enemy that's trying to discourage you. This marriage will never work. It will never work. I'll never meet anybody. You'll never meet anybody. I'll never be out of debt. You're feeding this thing. You're feeding. Second thing he did, he built the walls. He rebuilt the walls. Walls are what keep things out. In biblical times, walls are very important. The Bible says that a man who cannot control his spirit is like a city. Let's get your attention. Wake up. Without walls. That's what it is, a city without walls. A man that cannot control his spirit, or a woman that cannot control themselves, is like walls protect you. Listen, sometimes over the course of living your life, walls start to deteriorate. They start to break down. Listen, I've realized this, being saved 20 years, I can be like here, I've got a wall here, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. And then maybe, you know, down again. How many know that's how it is? We make these big, because the walls need constant upkeep. You need to constantly be saying to yourself, listen, I need to build these walls. Because many times people are discouraged because there's no walls. Things are coming into your life. Not just, the Bible says, he didn't just build a wall, he built a second wall. Listen, you got to build a second wall. You got to have some things that you say, listen, I'm precautious. You know, if your standards of life or your commitment to God or your decisions and lifestyle doesn't shock unsaved people a little bit, then there's probably something you need to look at. If unsaved people can look and be like, yeah, I understand exactly how you live. No, there should be something about it. You know, many of you know, recently, Billy Graham passed away. Billy Graham, he's not Jesus, just a man. But he did great things. They say he probably preached to more people than anybody ever lived, the gospel. And what is wonderful about this man, that his entire ministry, it never was marked by any controversy of corruption or sexual perversion or anything like that, where many preachers, they start well and then they go away, they go wayward, they fall off. Many. It's happened many times. But one of the standards Billy Graham said when he was a young man, a young preacher, and him and a few guys, they made this statement. They said, we're never going to be alone with a woman. That's not our wife, our daughter, our mother, our sister. We're never alone with a woman. We never put ourselves in a position where we could be tempted. We're never in a position where a woman can say, yeah, he touched me, because they're never alone. I remember hearing that and I said, listen, I'm going to live like that. And now to some people, that's a second wall. That's a bit extreme. Yeah, it's a second wall. That's what he did. Because I've seen too many men fall. Men that are far further down the road than me, men that know more than me, preach better than me, pray longer than me, know their Bible better than me, and I've seen them fall. I have a wall, and I'm saying, sometimes there are certain things you got to build. I don't want to build that second wall, no problem. But then you realize you're discouraged. You realize you don't have the energy. You realize that you have stopped, like King Saul, afraid of Goliath. You realize you're running scared, like Elijah, or like the children of Israel. You cannot hear Moses. It's time to stop feeding the enemy. It's time to rebuild the walls. Build a second wall. Build a tower and say, listen, I can't live like this. The last thing you see that he does, he takes the soldiers and he says, listen, they builded weapons. It says weapons and shields in abundance. Listen, you've got to get militant. You're in a war. Look at someone and say, you're in a war. Whether you like it or not, tell them, whether you like it or not. Look back, say, you too. Yeah, some people didn't like it, but listen, this is the reality. Sometimes people come up to you, Pastor, when will it end? Never! It's never going to end. You're in a war. When will it end? When you die. Pastor, that's not encouraging. Yes, it is encouraging. Because when you fight, the joy and the peace is the spoils of victory. This joy and the peace are the spoils of victory. I'm living good because of the spoils of victory that, yes, I have to fight. Yes, I have an enemy. He says here, listen, you better get some weapons. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that you have weapons. Your sword. How many brought their sword to church? One person over there, thank God. Prayer is a weapon. How many came to prayer today? Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Someone just say amen. Who knows? Because these are weapons. What about shields? The Bible says a shield of faith. What about the armor? The helmet of hope. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. These are the things, as we start to give ourselves to these things and build these things up. Let me tell you this, you're going to have the victory. You're going to have the victory. All of that is what we can do. But we still need God to move. How many know we need God to move? How many know we don't want to just be living our lives like just encouraging ourselves, but the circumstances don't change? I need God to change my circumstances. I need God to move. In our text, God moves. See, you overcome discouragement by trusting that God is fighting for you. Let me repeat that. You overcome discouragement when you trust and believe God is fighting for me. God is already fighting for me. Look what he said in the text. We go back to the text at the end, verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Syria, nor before all the multitudes. The king of Syria has so many soldiers with him. For there are more with us than with him. Why did he say there's more with us? He says, because God is with us. Listen, a whole multitude can be against you. But if God's with you, you've got more with you than with them. Just you and God is the authority, is the majority. Just you and God. God fights for you. God is fighting for you. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, look what happened. Verse 20 of the chapter. Now, because of King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, and the son of Uzzah prayed and cried out to heaven, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captive in the camp of the king of Syria. God got involved. And he returned shamefacedly. This is the king. To his own land, and when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword. The Bible says, here is this king threatening God's people, coming against God's people, saying all of this stuff. But Hezekiah says, listen, let us trust God. We're going to trust God. God's on our side. God is fighting for us. And the Bible says, because he trusted God, God actually comes down and God kills 180,000 soldiers of the enemy. God is the one who brings the victory. I want to tell you today, God is fighting for you. Do you believe that today? If you're here in this place today and you're discouraged, it's because you've lost sight that God is fighting for you. The Bible says that God is helping you, but you got to trust him. You got to believe in him. Sometimes it's trust and faith and belief can become very blurred. King Hezekiah was not alone. This is why I really believe helped him to trust. Because in verse 20, it says, now because the King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. King Hezekiah had the prophet Isaiah with him. Isaiah is a prophet that speaks the most about Jesus, and it always is pointing to Jesus. Most of the prophecies about Jesus is in Isaiah, about him coming, about who he's going to be. See, the reason why Hezekiah could trust is because he had the prophet Isaiah with him, pointing him to Christ. See, me and you today, we need to have people around us that are pointing us to Christ. We need to have the Word of God in us that's pointing us to Christ. Listen, if God saved you, then he's going to rescue you. If he saved you from your sin, he'll save you from anything. If he saved you when you didn't want him, now you want him, is he going to let you go? Is he going to abandon you? Listen, you may be here and you're trying to go through life and you're discouraged with where life is. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to say, you know what? I need someone fighting for me. Because if you're doing life alone, this is why people are depressed. This is why people are overwhelmed. This is why people are discouraged. Because life is too heavy for man to carry by himself. You wasn't built to carry life by yourself. God sent Christ. Do you have God's word in you? I was thinking about this. How many know it would be nice to have the prophet Isaiah with you? How many know you do? It's in your Bible. See, if you really want to overcome discouragement, you're going to have to trust in God's word. I was thinking about this scripture that's one of my favorite out of the book of Isaiah, and it always refreshes me and helps me in those moments of discouragement. Isaiah 40, 29. The Bible says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. How many know it's powerful? How many ever felt weak? The Bible says he's going to give power to the weak. You've ever come up against something and realize you don't have the might for it. You don't have the might for it. Where you feel like, you know what, this is bigger than me. The Bible says that when you're weak, he gives you power. That you don't have to think, okay, I need to get myself through this. No. God is fighting for you. God is the one who's fighting for you. He's the one that's on your side. Look what it said in verse 30. Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. What he's saying here is that natural strength will give up. Natural strength. A young man, the Bible says the glory of a young man is his strength. Actually, the best thing the Bible says about young men is they're strong. And he says, even the young man's strength will fail. You know what that is? That is that first zeal. You know that first zeal? You get saved and you've got that energy and you're like, yeah, I'm going for this. Yeah. And then you start to get some blows. He says, when that fails, listen, he says, don't put your trust in that. Put your trust not in your own strength. Not in that. I've seen so many people the first 2, 3, 4 years on fire for God. Fight, talking and going places and doing things. And then you enter those years where God really wants to use you and be effective. And those are the years the devil wants to discourage you with. Where you walk through those years discouraged. He says, listen, I give power to the weak. And for those that have no might, I increase strength. In verse 30, he says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know that word where it says those who wait? It means to twist. It actually means to be plaited, like a weave. I mean, not weave is, amen. You know what weave is. A plait. Not wrong with a bit of weave. What the Bible says is that I'm weaved in on God, man. I'm plaited to God. That I'm stuck with him. That's what it means. Those that wait. I can't move anywhere that he don't move. It doesn't just mean I'm just... What it means is I'm stuck to him. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go. I'm twisted in his will. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what's going on around me, I'm stuck with God. Because I know if I stay with God, that he's going to do something. He's going to move for me. See, really, the battle is the devil wants you to move. He wants to move you away. He wants to discourage you so that you move away from the things of God. The Bible speaks about in the psalm, like a tree planted beside the waters. Like a tree. This means I'm stuck there and I'm firm there. But I'm not just there alone. I'm beside these waters. I'm receiving what I need if I stay there. You see, that's the one that shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's the one that shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. It's almost like my battery doesn't run out. You ever see people that are saved 10 years and they're just still going? Like 10 years, they're still going. 20 years, they're just still going. 30 years, they're just still going. Listen, you don't have to fade out. You don't have to give up. This doesn't have to be just a summer thing. 2018, he's like, yeah, I was in church, see that? And then you go, this can be for life. This can be forever. This is it. That I just go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. God just using me to another dimension. It doesn't have to be anything else. But what we have to do is we have to trust in God. We have to trust in his word. We need to meditate on his word. See, this woman that I spoke about in the story, Allied Sally. Here she is making these radio stations. You know, she actually went in to a prisoner of war. So when the Germans have captured some Americans. They're POWs, prisoners of war. She went in, they're wounded. Some of them have lost legs and that. And so here is this woman. This woman's wicked. She goes in and she interviews some of these soldiers. So you think, you're a soldier, you've been captured, the Germans are treating you bad. Here is this American woman, your own country woman, comes in and she starts to interview them, saying, why don't you say they should give up fighting? Why don't you say this? And she takes these interviews and twists them. She's saying over the radio station, maybe your wife is not being faithful. Maybe your wife has got another boyfriend. Maybe, and she's saying all these wicked things. And you imagine you're in Germany and you're fighting and you're hearing these things, these words, and you're discouraged. And so she's hearing that. And in the history books, that her last radio broadcast went out 2 days before the Germans surrendered. 2 days. That means you could hear her last one and it just got to you and you could say, I can't do this, forget this. In 2 days' time, the Germans surrendered. The war's over. Some of you might be at that point now where you're like, I'm quitting. Listen, you don't know. In 2 days' time, God's gonna move. Some of you believe it, some of you don't. But I want to tell you today, if you will get on board and say, listen, I'm going to meditate on this word until this word is in my heart more than these discouraging words are in my heart. I'm not going to speak those things. I'm not going to speak these negative things that are constantly trying to come out. I'm going to speak the word of God so that God can help me. God is fighting for me. God is fighting for you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.